Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
I had a really interesting week a few weeks back now where I had the opportunity to interview a whole bunch of apprentices. It was really interesting. So today, one of the stories that I got to hear was from a young gentleman that we'll call Dougie. It's not his real name, but his name's Dougie. There's a story there too. And he's going to tell us a little bit about how he's finding being the Queensland Apprentice of the Year. Welcome, Dougie.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good to have you on the show, mate.
It's good to be here.
Dougie, why don't we start with the story of the fact that you're not actually Dougie, but you're Dougie to everybody. Can you share that story with us? I loved it.
Yeah, okay. So pretty much my father's name's Mark as well.
Mm-hmm.
And well, my real name is Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much when I was born, they weren't expecting a guy, so they didn't plan any male names. And then Mum wanted Mark because it was my dad's name. My dad's like, no, I don't want that. I want Douglas. I was like, that's dumb. Nah, not having that. Anyway, so after a very short argument, Mum won.
Of course.
Yeah. And then, so my first name is Mark, except my dad's like, everyone's going to be calling him Dougie. That's just how it's going to be. And then pretty much all of my dad's mates, as I was really young, called me Dougie. Mum wasn't having it. She kept calling me Mark. But then after about 2 or 3 years, she just gave up, and ever since then I've just been called Dougie.
Fair enough. That's going to be kind of confusing for you through life, mate.
Yeah, every time I go to like the doctors or someone, it's, oh, Mark, forget that's me.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
I got a mate who's actually been on the show, and everyone knows him as Gibbo. But, you know, his name is Jason, but nobody calls him Jason. And so if anybody walks in and says, oh, Jason, he just doesn't look around. The same thing. It's like, oh, Gibbo. Yeah. Oh, that's cool, mate. Cool. So HIA Apprentice of the Year. It's a pretty impressive accolade. Dougie, how's have you got all the TV gigs lined up and the sponsorship deals and everything, mate?
Oh, funny enough, you guys were the first one to call.
Ah, yay.
Best one first, mate.
Of course.
Of course.
Might be the inside knowledge, eh?
Yeah. So has life changed for you, mate?
No, not really. Get a few compliments around the workplace now with all the guys in the company just saying congrats, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And got a few emails from like our suppliers and all that once they found out, and that was pretty good. Yeah, now I've just got a bit more of an expectation to reach.
Yeah,
that's true too.
You work harder now, mate.
Yeah, that's all right.
So I'm curious to know how you found the process. Like, what was involved, and how did you find the whole process from being nominated all the way through to picking up the gong?
Yeah, it was actually quite interesting. I hadn't done anything similar to it before because my training supervisor came out to me one day and he said, oh, you've been nominated. We want you to go for it. I was like, oh. I was quite surprised because I didn't know anyone that nominated me because I asked my boss and he said, I didn't even know about it. So then I filled out this form that my supervisor gave me and so did my host tradie and all that. And then I went to TAFE for my last block of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the teachers there said, oh, have you won that award? And I was like, so what? And, it turns out one of the TAFE teachers nominated me.
Hmm.
So that was quite good. Yeah.
Nice.
And then I'm not really sure if I got shortlisted or just made it to the interview stage with Unicol. But, and then apparently there were a fair few others that applied that then sort of got cut or something. And then there was about 10 of us or so at the interview. And somehow I won it from there.
So big ups to Dougie. Dougie's a young fella, for those of you that can't see him. But it's actually really quite a or it could be a daunting process. We do, you've got to fill out a pretty comprehensive form. There's quite a bit of information that is asked for by the HIA. And then from there, yes, you're shortlisted down to, I think we had about 10. I think you're right there. So you're stuck in a room full of these other apprentices who are your competition. You don't know any of them. You've not met any of them before. You're in a strange place. You don't know what's going on. And then you have to go and have a panel interview. Now, Dougie was lucky this year. We only had two of us that were on the panel, but that's a pretty big daunting thing for an apprentice to do, but what a great experience.
Yeah. Kind of like the draft pick.
Yes.
Yeah.
it's, you know, it could be really daunting. And I must say, out of the 10, I'm going to call them kids, but they're not kids. That's not a fair thing to say. Out of the 10 apprentices that we interviewed, they all took it really well. I was really surprised how comfortable they found themselves to be. Yeah, okay, so the first couple of minutes was a little bit scary, I'm sure, for everybody. Mm. But after that, they really settled in.
Especially
they were
sitting
able,
in front of you.
Yeah, well, I can be a scary, nasty thing. They were all able to articulate quite well their hopes, their expectations, what they saw coming in the industry, the changes, some of the difficult situations that they've had to sit through. It was a really fascinating process. So I guess I want to blow your horn here a bit, Dougie, and say that you did really well. That can't have been easy to do. I'm sure it was a new experience for you. What do you think, you know, you wouldn't have, I can't imagine there was any preparation for that for you. So have you been in a situation like that before, or was this totally new for you?
It was a little bit scary. I won't lie, like going in, I was a bit sort of like on edge, but
of course.
I'd done, like, in high school, my parents made me do, like, debating and all that.
Yes.
So I had that sort of getting put on your feet experience, sort of.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, like, my first time being chucked in there, but it was definitely something that's, like, you're not always 100% comfortable with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm.
Was,
but, like, it was fine because, well, apart from, like, the first couple of minutes, as you said, it was a bit nerve-wracking until you find your feet. But, yeah, it was pretty good. Like the other apprentices, we all just sort of talked in the waiting room just about work and all that, like what each other do. So it was good because it wasn't always just quiet and you just sat there awkwardly.
And, you know, the best bit of it of all is you get to go out to a fancy swanky dinner and have a few beers and relax and enjoy the evening, and then you get to bring home a trophy. Hello.
Yeah, that was pretty good, yeah.
If only life was like that every week.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be great, wouldn't
it? Yeah, yeah. So what do you think was the recipe for you picking up the award, Dougie?
I was just sort of like in the. Are you talking about the interview stage?
Yeah. What? Why did you win?
You're gonna have to ask Nicole.
Just because you're Dougie.
Yeah. I just think she liked my story about my name personally.
It was a big tip.
But I just tried to answer everything honestly and just sort of go in there not awkward and shy, just try and be as confident as I could, just sort of talk normally. Because at the end of the day, it's just an interview that's, they just want to get to know you pretty much.
Mm.
Yep.
I think you're right. And for us, it was your TAFE teacher, their recommendation was amazing. Was just.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Did you not get to read it?
I only found out that he nominated me about 4 months later.
Yeah, it was lovely. And so was your employer. And then to put the face to the name, and your conversation was easy. And you answered the questions in line with where we felt things were going. And, you know, there's quite a bit, it's quite a structured awards process with the questions that we ask. So, yeah, you were a clear standout for me on the day, well, for both myself and the other judge. And it was great to, you know, for me as a mum of kids that are almost your age, it's wonderful to have some, well, there were 10 of you that were really well spoken, that had great ideals about where the industry's going, and you had a lot of ambition. And I was excited to see that. You know, everyone was around about the early 20s in age group, and to see so much enthusiasm for the trades and your potential business opportunities, and that was really refreshing. Because generally when you get to my age, you're a bit over it and you can think of 100 things that are crappy about the industry and not all the good things. So it was great to see the breath of fresh air come through. Dougie, I really love you. We don't know what you do. I know what you do, but our listeners don't know what you do. So tell us a bit of your story.
Like from when I first started out of high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to go to university, got into university, and then was talking to Mum about it, saying no, I didn't really want to study for another 4 years or so. So she mentioned a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much as soon as I finished high school, I thought, oh, well, I don't want to waste time because I wanted to try and get stuck into it if I'm doing a trade. So I tried out being a chippy, electrician and plumber, and I just thought out of the three, I had the best time being a plumber for a week. So I just thought I'll give that a crack. And then the plumber that I did my work experience with was had connections with HIA.
Mm-hmm.
He said, give these guys a call. They'll help you out. Made it to an interview with Phil and Brian from HIA. And then they must have liked me enough to give me a job. And then I've been with Andrew Gleason Plumbing ever since.
Nice, mate. And what were you going to study at university?
I got into, what was it? I think it was secondary physical education.
Okay.
Yep. PE teacher. Which leads me to the other part of your story that I found really interesting. There's something you do in your spare time.
What's that?
This is a family show, Dougie.
Hang on there.
Well, it was anyway.
you play football?
Yes, I do. Rugby league.
So there was a bit of a well, there could have been two sides to your story, couldn't there?
Yeah, was a bit.
Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So as I was growing up, my dad's a rugby league fanatic, so I've been playing since I was five, and as you get older, you get a bit better. And because I hit puberty at about 16, unlike the giant Islanders who were killing me at 14, I then, started to get relatively all right when I was about 17, 18. I was in contention for Storm under 20s,
nice,
which
mate.
Was quite exciting, except because of the travel, of course, it meant that I couldn't really do a trade, and also studying becomes quite hard as well because it's so focused on rugby league. So I had to sort of not try and chase those dreams just yet, except when I was 18, made it into the East Tigers Colts squad, which is the under 20s.
Yep.
So, yeah. And do you know Intrust Super Cup?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the under 20s for that.
Yes.
So we go around pretty much playing before their game. So we go versus Tweed Seagulls, Central Queensland Capras and all that. So that was still – it's still a fairly high level. Like you're training four or five times a week. Then you go into the game as well. So I was part of the East Tigers team for 2 years. And then this year, 2018, I moved to Ipswich Jets and played my final year of Colts with them.
It's a big deal.
So where's the footy career going now, mate?
I'm not too sure just yet. Because Colts is under 20s and this was my last year in Colts, the next big step up is BRL, which is the pretty much the men's best level you can play. So it is quite serious and it's a lot tougher because you're versus blokes who are 30. So not too sure just yet whether I want to try and play that next year or whether just to sort of take a light year and just play club footy in an under-21s comp or something, except sort of torn between the two at the moment, or whether just sort of wait 2 or 3 years till I'm a bit older, a bit bigger, and then play with the men. So I'm leaning more to that side just so with work I'm not versing these 30-year-old giants each week.
Yeah, yeah. Getting beaten up on the weekend and then having to go to work during the week, mate.
Yeah. So I'm probably just going to play like club footy this year, just muck around, keep my skills up, and then maybe 2 or 3 years down the track, hopefully, make a BRL side.
How long have you got left in your apprenticeship?
Technically, for like my full 4 years, I should finish January 2020, except I've been in talk with Phil and Brian because I've already finished on my TAFE.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much I can get signed off as soon as they're happy and Andrew Gleason's happy.
Yep.
So I'm hoping sometime around July, August next year.
So you're a bit of an overachiever, aren't you, Dougie?
Yeah.
I just get things done.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it.
Must be the hair colour, mate. Is that a bit of ginge I can see up top there, mate?
Yeah, that's it.
So I'm curious to know what you like about your trade, Dougie. Like, what is it you love about plumbing, about your trade?
Well, I've got it really good. I'm pretty much just doing domestic, except like we do a whole range of things. Like we do commercial, a bit of civil, except I really like doing the finishing touches on it. Like me and my tradie have just finished doing the rough in stage of this 5-story house on the Brisbane River at Graceful.
Nice.
Yeah. So like we've just done the rough in. So once we get to the fit off, it'll be like a multi-million-dollar house. And it's just nice knowing that you've put a bit of your work into that and seeing the finished product. It's quite a good feeling.
Yeah, it is.
Cool, mate. Cool. So I also want to, and I'll probably put you on the spot here a bit, mate, but what do you think the state of the industry is like? Coxie and I talk about this on the show a bit, but, you know, what do you think the state of the trades, not just plumbing perhaps, but, you know, maybe you can focus on that if you want to, but what sort of state of health do you think the trades are in at the moment?
I reckon pretty good. Like, there's health and safety are very important and big. And I'm not saying this is the reason why, but the fines as well really make people second guess because they don't want to be getting these $4,000 fines for not doing something simple.
Mm.
So it just gives everyone more incentive to be safe around the work site, be healthy. And like I've been on sites where they do your drug tests, they do alcohol tests. So it makes people aware, okay, I can't go get drunk the night before then rock up to work.
Mm.
Yep. So everyone's in quite a good mind, which is good because then it makes it better for you to work and there's less things that go wrong on site, which is always good for everyone.
Mm. Do you think there's anything that trades could do better, mate?
Oh, I reckon so. Yeah, there's always a few things like whenever someone drills through your pipes, you never like that.
Usually electricians, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Is it true what's the go? Like electricians and plumbers, mate, do they literally hate each other? Is this like this age old rivalry or what?
Look, I've got one of my best mates is a Sparky and I'll tell you now, if we ever had to work together, we'd probably kill each other.
What is the go there? It's always baffled me.
I think it's just because I'm not talking bad about any other trades, but no. Usually, like the two highest paid are plumbers and electricians, so there's always that sort of rivalry between the two. And then because one's like the water and one's the electricity, it's always like who's more important, sort of thing.
Yep.
So who is more important, mate?
Oh well, you can't live without water, can you?
I mean,
you can easily live without electricity. There's it's gas, which plumbers do as well.
I love it.
And then, we're going to send all the hate mail to you, buddy.
Oh yeah, pretty much.
I'm interested to know during your time. So you've been with the one host all the way through, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So when you were at TAFE and you're talking to the other guys in your class and girls, hopefully there were some of those as well, doing their apprenticeships, what sort of experiences were they having with their hosts? Have you found that everyone's had this great positive experience like you've had, or have you found some real negative ones?
I've actually come across a fair few negatives. Like there's been, of course, there's been a fair chunk that have been happy. They've got a boss that they're mates with or they've got a good relationship, but there are ones where a boss hasn't like paid them well or he hasn't treated them nicely. Like one of my best mates who I've met through plumbing, we went taped together. His boss used to hopefully I can't get in trouble for this. He used to
just don't say any names, mate. That's all.
Okay, sweet. He used to throw boxes of bolts at him if he messed up or something, and he ended up leaving him because of obvious reasons. But yeah, there are other guys that they just can't get a boss that's good or a boss that wants to keep them, so they just get passed around heaps, and it really puts a pause on your learning. If you got to start again with a new bloke, and then a month later, same thing. So I've been quite lucky, but yeah, there are definitely guys out there that haven't had the quite a good experience.
Yeah, I was pretty saddened to see myself. A couple of those apprentices were working with labour hire type situations, and so therefore they were with new hosts quite frequently. And I just worry that they must be so hard for them to get the knowledge that they need to get the job done well, you know, to complete that quality job. So, yeah, just to touch on your thought of luck, yes, you've been lucky, but you've also made your own luck. You know, you wouldn't be there if you weren't a good employee as well. There's a two-way street there. So, Dougie, would you have any advice for – I've got three boys. I think all three will be tradies and take after their dad and stepdad. No, bloody stupid, I reckon. Stay away from the trades. But would you have any advice for other kids coming out of school, maybe considering trades? What would you – what would you – your one piece of advice for them be?
Effort. Yeah. That's literally all it is. No one – like, no tradesman – is going to bag out a first year or send him back if he's willing to learn and he's putting in effort. It's the guys that come out of high school thinking, I'm too dumb to go to university, I'll just do a trade, who cares? Having that attitude isn't going to get you anywhere. And especially like tradies, because what I found that a lot of first years like that I see come through, they don't see it as this is someone's job, this is someone's company, this is someone's life. They're just saying, I got a job, yep, sweet. They're not thinking, if I don't do this, it can affect a fair bit. So it's just pretty much, if you just put an effort and you're willing to learn, that's all that matters. No one's going to bag you out for doing that.
I think there's 100 employees that just decided they wanted a Dougie.
Yeah. And I'd like to flip that around, Dougie, with I almost called you Mark. with what about employers, mate? You know, the tradespeople that are either employing or looking to put on an apprentice. Have you got any advice for them on, I guess, how to get the most out of their apprentices?
Pretty much, I reckon, don't try and be their friend straight away. With my boss, I would say we were not like friends for at least 6 months to a year. It was like a strict working relationship, which I found like personally really good, because then I go to work, I think, okay, I've got to work hard, I've got to do this. Because if I've got an apprentice and he's one of my mates, I'm not then thinking, you need to put your head down, you need to work hard.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, oh yeah, it's just him, I can muck around a bit. So for an employer, I find that you can't be mean, but you can't be overly friendly and try and make them feel as comfortable, because they've got to get out of their comfort zone and learn new things. They've got to ask questions, work hard and all that. Because in our company, there are guys who are the same as me who have got a tradesman, weren't like a friendship to start off with. So they worked hard, built that mutual respect, and now it's good.
Yep.
And like you see cases where once I turn 21, I get a 20-year-old apprentice, we become best mates, and then the work quality drops and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
You get what I mean?
Absolutely, mate. Hear about it all the time, sadly. And I guess I want to also ask you about, there's a lot of I don't know, bad press, grumblings about, you know, the younger generation. We hear all this crap from the older generation, right? What is the go there, mate? Like, is it a real thing? Is it just, you know, is it something that's just made up by people whinging? Do you think the younger generation are part of the problem? Like, what's your take on it, mate? Because obviously you're a performer, you know, you've performed at a high level in your football and your sport. He picked up Apprentice of the Year, obviously a decent bloke, despite being a ranger. So what?
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, I remember that.
But what do you reckon, mate? What's your perspective on that whole generation thing?
I reckon it all started from the technology. Like, this is just my personal opinion.
Yeah,
all started from the technology. So, like, apprentices are always on their phones, and even like the young tradies, they're on their phones, like going on Snapchat, talking to girls and all that. And I think just because the older generation, they don't even know how to use a phone.
Mm.
So they just see all these people getting distracted, not doing work, not working hard. They're just saying, oh, well, bugger them, they're not worth it.
Mm.
Except I've had some school-based apprentices that have come with us for a bit. And it's sort of like the same. I'm only 20 and they're 4 years younger, but I can still see a bit in them that they just want to go out with their friends. They just want to do all that stuff and they don't really want to work.
Mm.
Which, I mean, it's just a time and place, really. Like, oh, go on my phone and all that. But when you're at work, you're there to work.
Mm.
So, except in saying that, I think we are cut a bit short sometimes when the older blokes always, oh, back in my day, they did that and they did that.
We never do that, do we, us older blokes?
Oh, no, not you. Other guys. Except I certainly do think times were tougher. Like back when my dad tells me stories, and even my tradesman, like, he used to have they didn't have nail guns and all that, so they had to hand nail everything, and now we're just getting brought up with a nail gun, we're just, bang, it's done.
Mm.
So they're always sort of like, oh, well, back when we had to do it, it was like this, so you shouldn't be complaining. But, yeah.
We do tend to glorify the past a bit, mate.
I've noticed that.
You'll do it in about a year or two with the young blokes, you know. You'll be like, back in my day. But it is like, yeah, you've got nail guns to do your work, but when they were doing it by hand, the expectation wasn't there for the speed either.
Mm.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So I think, you know, in your defense and in fairness, I do think people lose a bit of that perspective sometimes, if I can sort of give my opinion. My old man was a builder, and, you know, I labored for him as a young bloke and hung around the industry for 20 years. But I think we forget some of that stuff. You know, I started out in the building industry as a rep before the internet. No, that's how old I am. But we weren't expected to hit the same targets as reps are now, because we didn't have mobile phones. We didn't have the internet. You know, email was only just coming out. We're still sending faxes, for goodness sakes. So, yes, you've got it easier in some ways, but I think the expectations are more because the pace has changed as well. You know, people want things done even faster than before because you've got a nail gun and a mobile phone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my perspective anyway.
Oh, no, I agree, because like the work I do, we get sent the plans by email the night before. We get on site, we get given a time frame to do it by. And if you don't, then you get a call saying, what are you doing?
Yep.
Except like my boss, because he's not old, but he was in that past where it was all slow and you did have to hand nail everything and all that.
Yep.
So he's got both experiences and he's extremely quick. So he, as you said, we've now got that expectation to be quick, get everything right, and do it all in less than half the time that it used to be done.
Mm.
Which, I mean, that's all I've known, so I'm fine with that. Except you do get some of the other people that question, oh, you've got it so easy, but then we've got to do all the work, and then we've got to do it quickly as well.
Mm.
My old man's 75, and he's still telling me I've got it easy, mate. I don't know what hard work really is, you know, all that sort of crap. So.
Yep.
So what does the future look like for the HIA Apprentice of the Year, Dougie?
Oh, well, hopefully good.
I've got lots more chicks on Snapchat, mate.
Oh, I had to turn my phone off.
Too many notifications, mate.
Oh, it was running me mad. But no, it's quite good. Hopefully with this award, it brings my name up. So hopefully we'll get put on by the company I'm with now, once I'm a tradesman, and I'm going to stay with them for a while because he's a great boss and he's treated me well, treated me fairly throughout my apprenticeship. So I even owe back to him a bit to make him some more money.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm happy in the position that I'm with at the moment. So if I can just keep going where I am, then I'll be happy.
Nice, mate.
Dougie, your parents have done a great job with you.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, your mum and dad should be really proud. You're a great guy.
Thank you very much.
Careful, his head's going to get even bigger. But no, I was thinking exactly the same thing. I got a 7-year-old daughter, and you know, I can see how important parenting is. Obviously, your parents have been a positive influence, mate. Yeah. You probably didn't always believe it, just like all of us as we were all growing up. But how have they reacted to your award, mate? What's been their feeling about it all?
My parents are very supportive. They've I've got two older sisters, and with them as well, they've just haven't let us do whatever we wanted, but if it was important to us, they would.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept us on track, except if they thought, oh, they really want to do this, they'll be like, okay, off you go, we'll help you along,
mm-hmm.
which has been really good. Like, I wouldn't be in the position I am now without them. So it's been really good, and so when I won the award, Mum was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
She actually wanted to be my date, so then if I didn't win the award, she could see it and take photos and all that. So
she's
very proud of it. Yeah, so is my dad. So it's nice.
Oh, that's awesome, mate. Mm. Well, it's great to see. And obviously, you know, you got your head screwed on the right way, mate. And, you know, future looks pretty bright for you, Dougie. So well done, mate.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing your story. I think from our position and working with tradies, we hear a lot of negativity around apprentices and the young guys coming through. So it was really important to us to share or give you an opportunity to share your story today, because I want everyone to see that there's great guys out there.
Mm.
Yep. And that it's not just a one-off thing. There are, you know, there were 10 really great people in the room when we did the apprentice awards, and this just gives us an opportunity to share that. And can I say, let's give your boss a shout out too. He's obviously a top bloke.
Yeah. Luke Richardson, he's my tradie that has put up with me for 3.5 years. And I couldn't be any happier with him.
That's great.
He teaches me new stuff every day, and he's got, I'm not bagging it, he's got severe OCD.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not perfect, you got to do it till it is. So it's good, because then I get in the mindset of doing that as well. So yeah, I wouldn't be at the standard I am without Luke. So got to give it to him.
So just one, quick last question, Dougie, but because I know you got to get back to your Snapchat messages, mate. But what is it that has made him a good mentor, I guess? Because we have a lot of trade business owners that listen to the show, have trouble with employees, you know, trying to figure out how to lead a team and build a good team and all that sort of stuff. What do you think it is that makes Luke especially a good leader and a good mentor?
He's got this mannerism where you can just tell he's confident in his work, and he knows that he can produce this certain standard that's required. And when I came along, I got thrown in the deep end a little bit with him, because I was a fresh first year, but he still expected that quality from me.
Mm-hmm.
Except he really took the time to teach me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've found that, because I've worked with a fair few tradies, and some of them would just say, oh, go do that, and then that's it.
Mm.
He said, Luke took the time. He said, I'll show you how to do this. Except he's got this thing where he does it, then I watch him do it, and then I'll do it and he watches, and then I'll do it and he won't say anything. So it takes about 4 or 5 times of doing just like a simple task for me to then be able to do it by myself. But Luke was really persistent in making sure that I could do everything the standard he wanted before he'd let me do it by myself.
Mm.
So it's pretty much just taking the time to teach your apprentice right, I guess.
Yeah, nice, mate. Good advice.
Mm.
Cool beans. Well, mate, congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
We'll have to keep a track on your career as a plumber, mate. And
sounds good.
See where you're at in 12 months or something. But yes,
sounds good.
And good luck with the footy decision too, mate.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Can be tough to balance work and career and sport. So I'm sure you'll make the right choice there, mate.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks again for your time, Dougie. Good to have you on the show. And, mate, what is your... Do you have, like, a social media handle? People can go and stalk you if we've got chicks listening that want to see Dougie. What's your social handles, mate?
Yeah, well, if you want to add my Instagram, it's UpDoug. And there's a reason for that. It's not just some random dumb name. And, if you want to add my Facebook, Dougie Newell, that's my name.
Well, you got to tell us what UpDoug's all about, mate. Is it you know, family viewing or?
Yeah. Well, you guys have watched The Office, surely?
Yep.
Have you seen the episode UpDoug?
I have not.
No.
I'm going to now.
Yeah, it's quite a good episode. So Michael, you know Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he goes around and he's trying to get people to say UpDoug. So he goes around UpDoug, just saying it, and then someone finally replies, "What's up, dog?" and one of my mates said, "Oh, you could spin that on your name, just put Doug.
Up, Doug."
And then people would go, "Oh, what's up, Doug?"
Oh, dear idea.
And off it went.
I feel old.
And, yeah, I've just added
uncool.
Ever since.
Mine's just trading wingman. Like, yeah, what's up, boss? I was going to do a segment like that on the on my Instagram feed. Anyway, Dougie's already taken it.
He's beaten you to the punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I'm sure you're not.
Well, thanks, mate, for your time,
yeah,
Dougie.
Thanks again, buddy.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Pleasure. So there you go. Wise words from a 21-year-old ginger ninja.
I must say, I was really impressed, and I'm more impressed today, actually, talking to him again. It's pretty rare to find a very young man with a head screwed on so well. His parents have done an amazing job.
Yeah, I have to say, as a parent, I see young people doing good things and making a difference and just, you know, I don't know, achieving stuff. And I think, wow, their parents must be awesome.
Yeah, I think so too, because you need that grounding. So, yeah, of course, we all get to an age where we start to make choices for ourselves, but we're still very impacted and influenced by our parents.
Oh, yeah, and to take nothing away from Dougie, you know, he's worked hard and he's a great bloke. Yeah, it feels weird calling him a kid. I think about me at 21, and I don't think I was that mature and sorted. Like, I wasn't that certain about life and where I was headed at 21.
I had a child. I was heading... Yeah, I didn't know where I was going or what was going on. I was just in baby mode thinking, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah, I was not long out of university and decided that I hated the degree that I did and I didn't want to work in that career anymore. So, yeah, a little bit of turmoil. But anyway, that's Dougie Newham, HIA Apprentice of the Year. He's a plumber. He's already taken... but yeah, go find up.
Well, unless you're a young lady, he's apparently pretty good on Snapchat. Go find him there.
Yeah. Or Instagram at UpDoug. what's up, Doug? I'm dead set doing a segment like that. Hey,
yep, why not?
I'm going to change my Instagram handle to
How
UpWaz.
How old are you?
What's UpWaz? I'm 18 at heart. if you aren't in the Tradies in Business Facebook group, what's up?
Where are you?
You? What are you doing?
Really? Come on.
Go join the group. Go to Facebook groups, Tradies in Business. Apply to join. It's only open to legit tradies and their supporters. No spammers. Jump in there. Join the conversation. There's some really cool stuff happening. There's conversations about job management apps to use, how to set up your bookkeeping, what marketing strategies work best, and that's not even from Coxie and me. So there's tradies helping tradies in there. So jump on in. And if you want to get your voice on the podcast, go hit us at the website, tradiesinbusiness.com.au. There is a voicemail app on there called SpeakPipe. You can send us a message or a question, and we'll do our best to answer it on the show. Mm. So leave your deets there, record your message or your question, and we'll play it on the show. So you could be famous.
Leave your deets?
Yeah. Come on, I'm 21.
No, you're really not.
Up was. Hooroo.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.